Queensland.
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 It's still got the old and the new.
ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland.
Well, do you think you sleep better in the winter? Do the colder nights help you with sleep, or do you suffer from the sniffles in winter and a blocked nose keeps you awake? Phil Tuen is the Sleep Unit Manager of the Wesley Hospital Sleep Disorder Centre, and he's here today with your five-minute top tip on health and well-being. Hello, Phil.
Hello, Anthony. How are you going, mate?
I'm very well. Look, I have to say that on most occasions I do sleep well, but there is the odd night or two where I'm tossing and turning and can't get back to sleep, and I'm sure I'm not alone, because sleep is that big word, isn't it? You mention sleep, you open it up to the airwaves, and people have stories to tell, and I'm sure you've heard them all, no doubt.
Oh, well, I'd like to think that I've heard most of them, yes.
Do you sleep better in the winter?
See, I'm quite warm-blooded, so yes, I do. My wife, however, is a little bit more temperature sensitive, as most women are compared to men, and she tends to be feels the cold a little bit more than I do. So the duna is certainly thicker over her side of the bed than it is on mine.
What I find, Phil, is that if I'm using a duna and it's cold, then I find that my temperature varies. Then I have to kind of peel it off, and then I have to place it back on when the sun's about to rise, because it does dip a little bit there. So dunas can be good and things, but how do we sort of get around all of that? Are there some simple ways that we can get a good night's sleep?
Oh, look, there's many good ways to get a good night's sleep. Look, temperature is an important part, absolutely, and women would be more important than men. They'll need the room a little bit warmer than men. Men will prefer it a little bit colder, but that's one element. Another one that I've found, particularly during winter, is managing your sinuses. Now, something that people overlook, and they often overlook it, I see it overlooked all the time, myself included. This year, however, I followed my doctor's advice, our doctor's Andrew Scott here at the Wesley, and he's been on me for years about managing my sinuses, and this year I finally did it, and you know what, I can sing these praises. It's worthwhile. There's nothing worse than waking up in the middle of the night with a dry mouth, where you're, you know, blocked nose, and it's just terrible. And you know, you're more likely to get sick if you don't, if you have these sort of warm, sticky, mucousy sinuses that are just a bacteria haven, and any viruses can get lodged in there as well. So keeping these nice little nasal sprays, which I've started to amass a bit of a collection, and keeping those sinuses nice and clear, mate, I'm sleeping better this year than I have in the last few, I can tell you that.
Does it help with snoring, by the way?
It will to a degree.
Good.
So think about, you know, when your lungs expand and contract to breathe, you're actually creating a negative pressure in your lungs. That's what an air, which is positive outside of your body, gets sucked into those lungs with the negative pressure. But because of that negative pressure, if you block off the sinuses, you're actually going to have to breathe harder or create more negative pressure in order to breathe and get that air into your lungs. That increased negative pressure can help close off the upper airway, and then can lead to your snoring and increased obstructive sleep apnea and other types of respiratory disorders during sleep.
Phil, are there any risks associated with nasal sprays? Like, can we overuse them? Are they considered dangerous?
Look, you can do.
Yep.
Always do it in consultation with your doctor. The ones I'm using at the moment, two of them are over the counter and one is a prescription. And I use them, I've spoken with my doctor about it, and he's given me an idea of how to use and best use them for me. Some medications particularly, you know, can have adverse effects. Like, we don't administer decongestants for patients who have hypertension or high blood pressure. So there are some contraindications and you need to be mindful of those. But if you're in that group that you're well advised by your doctor, I certainly would recommend it, just based on my own personal experiences.
Now, there's some saline solutions that you can buy pretty much over the counter. That's that sort of salty solution that does similar things. Mm-hmm. Are they good? Can they work for those people who are finding it a little stuffy up there in the nose?
Well, that's my first go-to, is one of those. It's a fest solution, and then I move on to the ones like I use Nasonex, and spray tissue is also one that I've used. And then
so there's a whole variety that you can use that
absolutely.
Are on the market
that's why you need to talk to your doctor, because there's so many. You're going to get confused.
Absolutely, there are. Now, apart from those nasal sprays that you mentioned, are there other things that we can do over winter to get a good rest? And it's interesting that you mentioned about that men like it slightly cooler in winter. I find that, and I don't have a fireplace, but in places I've been where it's quite warm and they've shut all the windows and there might be a fireplace in the room, I have to escape. I literally have to open a window to get some cool air. Is that just a Queensland thing?
I'm right there with you. I need a nice open window and I need circulating air. I hate the stuffiness. But, you know, I talk to some patients and some people in general and they prefer the closed environment. What I would say, though, is be mindful of the environment that you're in. So if you've got like a construction site next door or it's really dusty or, you know, there's a, you know, during the fires, for example, and you have a lot of fine particulates in the air, then you might want to have your window closed. But if it's a day where you've got, say, a bit of dust, extra dust in your room, you haven't cleaned your room, you know, in a little while, and probably haven't dusted in a bit, maybe it might be better to open the window and get some of that fresh air in. And the other thing that people don't think about often is your pillow. When was the last time you bought a new pillow? 'Cause mine was ages ago, and you take those pillow sheets off, pillowcase off, it's pretty dirty. So that's going to play a role too.
Phil Tuin is the sleep unit manager at the Wesley Hospital. We're talking getting a better sleep in winter. Are there other things that you could suggest, Phil, for those of us that are tossing and turning in winter?
Oh, look, in winter, I think we've touched on some of the key ones there. It's certainly, if you're getting more sick or more prone to upper respiratory tract infections, those sinuses, sore throat, colds, flus, that sort of thing, they're going to play a role as well. So you're best to prevent those as much as possible, you know, which is a bit of a given. You know, making sure your environment is conducive to sleep, so it's not too cold, not too hot, and try and remove any of those external factors that may trigger those upper airway inflammations. So, you know, dust mites, you know, pollens, those sorts of things. And that's setting yourself up for success. And then you have a whole range of sleep hygiene issues. So your listeners could easily look up different sleep hygienes, set yourself up for success, make sure you're doing something repetitive in the lead up to bed, get good sleep habits, good sleep hygiene. And that's the first step.
Two or one pillow, does it make a difference if we sleep on two pillows? Do we sleep better, or is that an individual sort of
It's going to be an individual thing, absolutely. Right. It's going to come down to a postural thing as well. There is some loose evidence that sort of, you know, having a lot of pillows, you can put your head in a position where your jaw becomes retronathic or pushed backwards in towards your throat, and that may exacerbate sleep disorders. That's very loose. I would at this stage recommend whatever's comfortable for you, and ergonomics is going to be the main factor there. You know, is your neck getting sore in the morning? Are you getting sore shoulders, hips, that sort of thing? Make sure you get into a sleep position that's right for you.
All right, some helpful hints there. I think I'll sleep better tonight, Phil. Thanks for your advice and thanks for your time this afternoon.
No, my pleasure, mate. Thank you.
Phil Tuin there, sleep unit manager at the Wesley, with some helpful hints, whether it's the nasal spray, mite around our bedroom, perhaps opening the window just a little for the cool air. There might be an argument with your other half, perhaps, but some helpful hints, hopefully, for a better night's sleep as well.
On your radio and online.
At home or on the road.
This is ABC Radio.